Thanks for listening to the podcast from Jonathan Combs and the preaching team at Eastgate Community Church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Check us out on the web at eastgate.church for more. And now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, church. Good to see you all. Happy Memorial Day to everyone. Got any vets in the room? Please hold your hands up. Any vets? Got a lot of you guys in here. All right. All right. Well, we're thankful for you. We're proud of you. I've been proud to serve myself, and so just so happy to get to share a message with you this morning on a day where we should celebrate. We should celebrate what our heroes have done for us so that we can have the opportunity to do what we do this morning. And hopefully there will be many more to come who will be willing to lay their lives down so we can be free. And so, but you know, this morning we're going to talk about the greatest hero of all, as we do every week, and the one that truly set us free from things our soldiers could never set us free from, and that's sin and darkness and all of these things, and certainly from the trouble and the pain of anxiety. So we've been going through some Psalms to try to find medicine for the soul, and I believe and I hope that you will find that the Bible, that the Word of God, is true medicine for the soul. That there may be issues that you struggle with for most of your life, perhaps, as we've already talked about, discontentment or anger. These might be natural bents you have in your life, but I think you'll find through the Word of God and through prayer that there is medicine for that. There is a salve, as you will. So we're going to continue this morning, though, to talk about one that I think a lot of you really struggle with, and that's anxiety or worry or these kind of stressors. Most of us, on some level, struggle with anxiety. Some of us do better than others. Some of us, it can be quite crippling, causing us to just want to stay in bed all day and avoid people. And there's a lot of things that can come out of this. And first of all, I just want you to know that you're not alone. Hopefully you know that already. I would say every one of us in the room has dealt with this on some level. Just like most of us have dealt with anger, now we're dealing with this fearful anxiety. The dictionary calls anxiety a feeling of worry, of nervousness, of unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. We spend a lot of time looking into the future, and the unknowns terrify us, right? That's where a lot of our anxiety comes from. In psychiatry, it's called a nervous disorder characterized by a state of excessive uneasiness and apprehension, typically with compulsive behavior or even panic attacks. So I've been giving you some good books. Those of you who like to read, the readers in the room, here's one from Max Lucado that I think would be very helpful for you. It's called Anxious for Nothing: Finding Calm in a Chaotic World. And here's something he describes here about anxiety. He says, it's a low-grade fear, an edginess, a dread. You can't relax. You can't let your guard down. All peace is temporary, short-term. You don't sleep well. You don't laugh often. You don't enjoy the sun. You don't whistle as you walk. And when others do, you give them a look. That look. That are you that naive look? You may even give them a word. The other shoe will drop. Misfortune lurks out there. It's just a matter of time. Anxiety is suspicion and apprehension, life in a minor key with major concerns. Anxiety ain't fun, he says. And those of you who struggle with this know that. There's several statistics you can read about this. And Dr. Byrne, he says, anxiety disorders in the United States are the number one mental health problem among women. Number one. And second only to alcohol and drug abuse among men. So number one and two among our so just know you're, many of you in the room, this is, you know, you're right here with us, and we're sharing this together. Dr. Clark says our nation spends $300 billion every year in medical bills and lost productivity, while our usage of sedative drugs keeps skyrocketing. I think it's sedative, apologize. Sedative, get the right emphasis. All right. Just between 97 and 2004, Americans more than doubled their spending on anti-anxiety medications like Xanax and Valium from $900 million to $2.1 billion. We could fix the national debt with our anxiety problems, perhaps. So here's my question for you. Yeah, these are some scary statistics, and yes, it's good to know that A lot of people struggle with this, but that doesn't really help, does it? It doesn't help to know, okay, we're all dealing with this. Wonderful. We got to ask ourselves some questions. Are we in this boat? Are we laughing less than we once did? The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone. Would those who know you best, would they say you're increasingly negative and critical? Would those who know you best say that? Do you assume that something bad is going to happen? Would you rather stay in bed than ever get up? I have a psalm for you. I have a psalm for myself and a psalm for you this morning. Psalm 91 has been a favorite psalm of many who are anxious. Many soldiers of America's past have dog-eared this in their Bible. It's a famous psalm, a favorite of my grandfather, who asked this to be read aloud as he lay fighting cancer in his hospital bed. It means a lot to our family, and I hope that it will mean a lot to you, Psalm 91. Here we see the psalmist writing that those experiencing fearful anxiety could find relief. They could find relief in the Lord. And the text is going to give us three ways to experience this relief. This psalm is probably written by Moses. There's a lot of different thoughts out there on who wrote it, but if you read this in context, Psalm 90 gives us the autograph that it's Moses, and most scholars think that whichever autograph was the last written, it probably carries on. So Psalms 90 through 100 are probably all psalms of Moses. And I think you'll see some similarities in this of some of his writings in the first five books. These psalms, again, are meant to be sung, right? So I keep thinking, Trey, I need to get you up here with your guitar as I read this. But, you know, I keep forgetting to ask you beforehand, so I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. But these psalms are meant to be sung, and this one is really cool. This one, it's like a modern hymn. It's like a modern song where you've got a chorus, you've got a verse, and you've got a bridge. And I think you'll see that with me today. The chorus, it repeats itself. The verses repeat themselves. And then you've got this wonderful bridge to end with where the Lord is speaking. And I love this psalm. And so let's join together, see if you catch on with me as we read Psalm 91, verses 1 through 16. Here we go. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions. Under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a good word from the Lord today. So thankful for his word passed down from ages to us. So now we can dive in. How can we experience relief from fearful anxiety? Here's the first way I'm seeing here. Rest in the Lord's peace. Rest in the Lord's peace. When you're anxious, peace is not one of your allies. Anxiety doesn't show up with peace. Anxiety, worry, these don't show up with peace and joy and tranquility. Those aren't his friends. Anxiety likes to show up with a heart attack. That's what anxiety likes to show up with. And panic and freak out moments. That's anxiety's buddies. But peace, that comes from the Lord, not with anxiety. We see here, and I just want to show you this. He starts off with what I think is the chorus. A lot of times we do this when we teach you a new song. Hey, let's run through the chorus a few times. You're probably not going to get the verses today. But hey, you're probably going to get the chorus, so sing along. And so that's what I see the psalmist doing here. Here's the chorus, and then he repeats it. So verses 1 and 2 and then verses 9 and 10 are like the chorus of this thing. He who dwells in the shelter, he who comes abiding in the shadow. And then in verses 9, because the Lord's your dwelling place, no evil befalls you. This is like the chorus line. If you'll dwell here, if you'll rest here, if you'll abide here, you got the Lord covering you with His wings. He's got your back. That's wonderful news. Shelter, refuge. A secret or hiding place. We just sang that. He's our hiding place. This is a place, a refuge is a place you can go and the bad guys can't get you. We kind of understand this theme now. We've had these different seasons in our recent history of refugees just flooding out of different places like Syria, and they're looking for somewhere where they will no longer be persecuted. And the Bible says the Lord, the shelter of the Most High, is our refuge. And that is not a place that we have to travel. It's a reality we can experience no matter where we are. It's way better than having to travel somewhere to seek refuge. It is in our soul. He is in our life. We just merely need to come before Him. We just need to take that step. Normally, anxiety takes over because we won't take this simple step to say, I'm struggling, God. Turning the worry into prayer instead of letting it just be in your head. You know He's in there anyway, right? If you would just take that next small little step and just say, instead of me just running this through my head, I think I'll just send it one level up, or an infinity level up rather, but I'm going to move it from just in my head up there in prayer. I will say, I love what the psalmist says. Did you pick this in verse 2? He says, I will say to the Lord, no matter what I'm struggling with, I'm going to say He's my refuge. Sometimes we need to take this step. If we're really in a bind, we just need to say, God's my refuge. I don't care what's going on, I will say He's my refuge. I will put my trust in Him. At our small group this week, one of our folks in there said, I will be patient. Wasn't that right? Isn't that what we heard? I just love that idea that I'm struggling with patience, but I will be patient. I will put my trust in the Lord. It's an act of the will to just say, I'm done with anxiety. I'm done with the worry. I'm giving it to Him. I will say He's my fortress. This verse is really beautiful. Four names of God are used here just in these first few verses. Elyon, El Shaddai, Yahweh, and Elohim. All four right here in just the first verses. He is the Most High. He is the Almighty, the Savior. He's all powerful. He's the Lord. He's the God of creation. The psalmist wants to remind us that we serve a big God and that we shouldn't be worried, that He's got this. He's in control. We just need to get back under His wings, under His pinions. Those pinions, that's a feather. That's being up under His wings. I've heard it said, if you're depressed, you're living in the past. If you're anxious, you're living in the future. If you're at peace, you're living in the present. And this is, I think, what most of us struggle with. We're going to talk in a few weeks about depression, and that's going to be a very powerful message out of the Psalms as well. But today, the anxiety we're feeling is mostly because we're living in the future and having a very hard time just being present in the moment. Jesus is our shelter and our refuge now, our place of rest, our place of peace. Matthew 11 says, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will what? Give you rest. I say this all the time, and some of you say this, I need a vacation. I just need a day where I can do nothing. I need a day of rest. I say this, and I'm sure you do too. But you'll never find it there. It's so weird. You go on vacation, and for me, there's too many kids. Maybe one day, when it's just me and my wife and we go on vacation, maybe that'll be rest. I doubt it, because we'll think of a lot of things to do, and we'll have a great time. But isn't it funny, you normally need to come back from vacation and have a vacation, like a staycation, just where you die for about 6 days? It's weird. Or that day where you're like, you know, this Saturday, I'm doing absolutely nothing. I'm just going to lay in the bed all day. And for some reason, you don't really feel that much more rested. Why? Because that's not where real rest comes from. Christ says it's in Him. You come weary, you come carrying heavy burdens, because the rest you really need is not physical, but spiritual. Paul writes in Philippians about how we can pray this thing out. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Rejoice in the Lord, friends. In that same book from Max, this is an exercise that I think could be quite helpful for you. It takes the mind from the future thing and puts it on the present again. He calls this acronym CALM. Can y'all remember the word CALM? It's what you want, right? You want CALM. This acronym is Celebrate, Ask, Leave, Meditate. Celebrate, Ask, Leave, Meditate. CALM. He's pulling this out of our passage here in Philippians 4:4. First, what do you have to celebrate? When you're really worrying and really anxious, if you could step back for a moment and pray to God and say, I have a lot to be thankful for. I have 3 healthy, beautiful kids. They're part of my stress, God, but you gave them to me. I've got a wife who loves me, who's trustworthy. I've got you, Lord. Better than those possessions, better than those things, that family, better than these things that I have you. I have salvation in Jesus. I didn't deserve that. Step back for a moment and celebrate. See how far your anxiousness and your worry runs from you. Because the peace of God is there. And then ask. You know, God, He loves you enough that you can ask. That's what He's saying here in Philippians. He says, but in everything by prayer and petition. You can come before Him saying, can you take this from me? Like, this hurts a lot. And He may answer that. Or He may give you clarity on why that's in your life. Ask and then leave. Some of you just need to take this stuff and just go lay it at His feet and say, I don't want this stuff anymore. That's what Jesus is saying. Your heavy burdens, take them off your back and leave them here. Some of you have been very anxious because you've kept something in your life so long and you just need to take it off. You've been forgiven already. When you said yes to Christ and you continue to live repentance, you've been forgiven. Leave it. And then meditate on something. Maybe this psalm this week. Meditate in His Word. Maybe just for a little while, just listen. It's funny how God speaks. He speaks differently to each and every one of us. He often speaks to me in His Word. But I've heard many people say that they will pray and they'll ask and they'll celebrate and they'll do these things. And then they'll just be patient. And that voice ringing in your head that sounds like your voice, but you ain't that smart. Listen. Are you worrying about coming possibilities? Rest in the Lord's peace. The next time you're anxious, say like the psalmist, He's my refuge, He's my shelter. Here's the second way that I see. Abide in the Lord's protection. Abide in the Lord's protection. Here's the verses. 2 verses. We've got 2 choruses, 2 verses. Verses 3 through 8, 11 through 13 say something about the Lord's protection in these verses. He will deliver us from the snare. He will deliver us from deadly pestilence. You will not fear. He will command His angels. He will cause you to tread over the lion and the adder. These are the verses in here that celebrate the chorus. His protection. And there's 2 categories that I see here going on. First of all, there's what we fear. I love what the psalmist writes about what we fear. First, he says, the snare of the fowler. And some of y'all checked out right there. Like, I don't even know what a fowler is, for one. This is some old text. You throw that out. But it's not old. This is something we still do. They didn't have, you know, guns and stuff back then. So they would set traps to catch birds, fowl, catch different birds, and so the snare of the fowler, you know what that snare is? You know what that person has to do? They have to understand the prey. They have to know where this particular animal is going to tread normally, what kinds of foods they like to eat. He says, I'm going to protect you from the snare of the fowler. You know who the fowler is? The evil one. And guess what? Some of you came to church today and you're like, I don't believe in all this metaphysical mess. I don't care if you believe it or not. It's real. And he knows you better than you know you. That's really a scary thing. He knows what hangs you up. He's been watching you a good while. And he knows, hey, if I can get Jonathan alone when no one else is around and tempt him with some stuff, he might do something sinful. If I can get this person in this group of people and everyone is drinking, they might make a bad decision. If I can, the temptation. And he knows what you like. He knows, oh, he likes these berries. Oh, he likes these fruits. He's not stupid. He was the most beautiful of the angels. He was quite powerful. He's the fowler. But God will deliver us from his snare. You've been delivered. You have no fear anymore. He says you've been delivered from deadly pestilence. This is a fatal disease. No matter what you're facing, you've been delivered. Even if that disease takes you, you're still delivered because you're going to a better place. You have no anxiety and fear in that. The fear comes from death, but death no longer has a sting. He says, I'll deliver you from the fear, the terror of the night, from the arrows that fly by day, the terror of the night, those things that go bump in the night, those unseen enemies. That's what you're terrified of. Those things that I can't see, that I don't know are coming. My kids are terrified of the dark. I don't think it's because dark is what they're scared of. They don't know what's in there. And that's what we're afraid of. We don't know what's on the other side of that bridge. So we're afraid to go over it. The terror of the night. God has not given you a spirit of fear here. Arrows that fly by day, this is the stuff that's in your face. The sun is shining and the arrows are hitting you. And you're afraid of it. Because you know tomorrow or the next day you go to work and you know this person, they just don't like me. I don't know. Maybe it's something I did. Maybe it's the shape of my face. It's too long. It's not wide enough. I don't know what's going on. Arrows that fly by day. You don't have to fear that either. The archer launches from afar. Sudden anxiety. You don't have to be afraid. The destruction that wastes at noonday. He means like a famine. A wasting away. A future existence where, oh my goodness, the car needs fixed. The house needs fixed. All of the kids have grown out of their clothes. I don't know what to do. A famine. You don't have to fear that either. Because he has the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he takes care of the lilies of the field. And there's so many verses to go to. Why are you afraid of the famine? The destruction at noonday. And some of you have been asking the wicked, why do the wicked prosper? And he says in verse 8, you will see the recompense of the wicked. And in that day we'll feel pity. And that day we won't be asking, why does it rain on the good and the evil? That's what we ask now, but in this day when we see the recompense, we'll go, I hate that I ever had this heart, God. When these people go to an existence, I would never wish upon them. How does he protect us from these things? There's many words. He uses the word deliver, save, rescue, to cover with his wings. Remember Christ's word in Luke chapter 13. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. He's reflecting, I think, on the Psalms, on many places in the Scripture where we see the Lord is like a mother hen. I don't know if you've ever done this. This isn't smart, all right? But you got to go get the eggs out of the chicken coop at a certain time. Because if you go in there when the mother hen is like, huzzah! This is what we got. This is who the Lord is. I don't care how big you are. You tick off a mother hen, that's scary. They got they little noses and they're fast and they peck and it's hard to catch a chicken anyway. I mean, it's just a mess, all right? But now we've got the Lord God saying, like a mother hen, and so far greater. I mean, this is just symbolism, but man. He says he's our shield and our buckler, a shield being a large thing, a buckler being something you would single hand. He's both of these things. He's ready for combat. Our all-powerful God is a warrior and a fortress, and he's our defense. He ain't playing games. He fights for us. This reminds me of, this is why I think this is clearly Moses. Look back in Exodus chapter 15. Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise Him. My father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is His name. Don't be afraid, church. We serve a big God, and He's not sitting on the sidelines. He's at work. You just need to take this simple step. I'm going to take this worry and this anxiety, and I'm going to give it. All right. And celebration and leaving and meditation and abiding and resting. When you turn that into prayer, it's medicine for the soul. This sounds so rudimentary, doesn't it? It just sounds too simple to be true. But the simple things are so often true. Just the simple step of, okay, you're struggling in sin, let's say. Take a moment and pray. Remove the shame for a second, because the shame is what's holding you here. The guilt and the shame for whatever this sin is, that's what the evil one in your flesh wants. If you would take a second and say, I know I'm forgiven. I know this. The blood of Christ is too powerful for this measly mess I'm messing around with. Who am I to you, God? You know, it's really hard. This is so simple, but it is really hard to sin when you're in prayer. When you're speaking with the Lord, when you're in His Word, you can't hardly sin. It's hard to have anxiety and worry when you're before Him, because the moment you feel it, you just say, oh, here it is, God. Take that again. And you just keep doing that. Leave it. Oh, get this off of me, God. And He does it. He protects. He delivers. We have no fear. Fear does not come upon us. He commands His angels. Do you recognize, we talk a lot about the evil one and all this stuff to be afraid of. But you know, the angels are at work. The God of the universe can be in all places, all powerful. What are we afraid of with these? Only a third of the angels even fail. There's two-thirds of the heavenly host still up there, and it wouldn't matter if they were even up there, because it's God. And He created all this stuff, and He could just go, all of it's gone. And He says, I'm commanding my angels. And more than that, He finishes by saying, I will promise, I will promise, I will. We've got some good stuff on our side. Satan likes to misquote the Bible sometimes. If you read verse 11 with me and you saw, you can command your angels so that your foot won't be struck. This is part of the temptation of Jesus when they're up there and He says, you know, this will really prove it. Jesus, just throw yourself off, and when the angels lift you up so that you don't strike your foot, everybody's going to know you're the Messiah. You know, the devil knows Scripture really well, but he loves to misquote it. He doesn't understand it like we can through the Spirit of Christ. You will tread on, you will trample. There's so many messianic titles here. And here we see that again, the lion and the adder. This is, I think, from Genesis 3 as well, where it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your heel, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is what I see happening. Isaiah 11 says, in that day the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. This is weird. Picture this. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion. And a little child will lead them all. A little child. It's going to take the wolves and the baby goats. And this is quite an image. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in the nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with the people who know the Lord. This is a time coming, and this is what the psalmist is writing about. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be afraid. God's got this, and there's a time coming where lions will lay down with lambs. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Jesus says, abide. That same passage says, if you don't abide, you can do nothing. Some of you are wondering why you're on a treadmill in life. You're working real hard. It's really funny if you come into the gym sometime and just think about those people that just moved real far and went nowhere. It's good. I do it too. I mean, it's fine. But it's funny when you think about it. Like, you've literally, yeah, you read 4 miles, but who knows? I mean, that digital thing might be lying to you. When I get on that elliptical, y'all, I run so fast. It doesn't make sense. It tells me I'll run a 5K on that thing in like 15 minutes. I'm like, what? If that were only true, then I would be the super Pastor Jonathan I've always wanted to be. I'm really not that fast, though. Running in place, running in place. And you're wondering this, why am I running in place? Because you can do nothing apart from Christ. You can amass a whole bunch of stuff, but it's worthless. You can do a whole lot of things that seem good, but it's all worthless apart from Christ. Abide in Him. This is where you put your anxiety. Let His words abide in you. I'm going to offer up one more book for the readers in the room. I just love what he has to say in this as well. He's a good pastor as well. Louis Giglio, he wrote a book called Goliath Must Fall. I like the title. And he says that anxiety is a symptom of a deeper cause. And this deeper cause is normally, he puts them in three C's. They're easier to remember that way. He says, number one, we've been conditioned. We were born into a family of worriers. Anyone born in a family of worriers? My mom, I can't stop worrying because my mom, you're going to spend your whole life blaming it on her. I come from a family of worriers. We've been conditioned. Number two, we've been concealing. Anytime we conceal something major under the hood of our lives, fear is allowed to flourish. As long as we're hiding that thing that we should have told our spouse, that we should have told our parents, they keep concealing it. And you know why? Anxiety, because you're afraid it's going to come out. But it needs to come out. And you're afraid. Number three is you're controlling. And this is a lot of you in the room. Bless your heart. Some people want to control everything. I don't want to control everything, but I want to control some things, and those things won't let me control them. They soon realize that much of life can be controlled. There's so little that can be controlled. You can hardly even control yourself. You might wake up tomorrow morning and your tummy hurts. Why? I ate all the right stuff. I'm following. I got the Greek yogurts and I got all the kale and I got... And why is my tummy hurt? Daggone it. Shouldn't have ate the kale. Something happens to you. You can't control this. And this is where your anxiety comes from, because you can't control stuff. But God can. He's in charge. Abide in Him. Abide in Him. Here's the last way. Trust in the Lord's promises. This is the bridge. And I love the bridge. I almost always love the bridge in a song, because the bridge is normally that moment where the electric guitar comes in. Go, 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 go. And everybody gets a little louder. The drums get a little louder. That's the bridge. And that's when we all sing something really great. And here we have the Lord, and an oracle of God. It moves from the psalmist writing to now he's reflecting on something he must be hearing the Lord say to him. And he says, I will deliver him. I will protect him. Why? Because he knows my name. Yeah. He calls to me, so I answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue. There are 8 promises of God here, and they are all we need and more. My part to play is so simple. Look at verses 14 through 16. It says, hold fast to me in love. Just hang on. Hold fast. And it's going to be a ride, because God's got a cool plan. Hold fast in love. Call out to Him. Focus your soul. Focus your heart and mind on loving God. Stay connected. He knows my name. Do you know the name of Jesus today? Does that mean something to you? Hold on. And He's got 8 promises for you and more. He says deliver, to protect, to answer. There's probably one of these in this list of 8 that you need to meditate on this week. You might believe, yeah, I know God can protect, but will He satisfy? Will God satisfy my life? I feel very unsatisfied. Take that to the Lord in prayer and find out that underneath the hood, You were wanting something that would never satisfy to begin with. Will He satisfy? Will He answer me? Does God actually hear my prayers? Absolutely. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." Man, this is great news. So that we can now look at the psalm here, which was Old Testament, Old Covenant, and we can know these are yes and amen in Jesus. Praise the Lord. Some of you are saying, "I don't feel like reading the Old Testament because that's old news." No, they're yes and amen in Christ. He's fulfilled it. He did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. They're yes. Matthew 6 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This is the heart of what I'm talking about this morning. This is the heart of the psalm. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's hard to be anxious when you're seeking His kingdom. 2 Timothy 1 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I was reminded as I was studying this week, and especially this last part, reminded of a song we used to do. It's not an old song, but we used to do it for many years from Christian Stanfield, and it goes, "Oh my God, He will not delay, my refuge and strength always. I will not fear, His promise is true, my God will come through always, always." That just really spoke to me this week. I will not fear. He is my refuge, my strength. And you know what He does? He always comes through. What's weird is I don't always know what He's going to do. He doesn't do it Jonathan's way. Y'all need to be thankful for that junk right now, that He doesn't do things Jonathan's way, because my way's silly, right? It's very edifying for me personally, but it may not be good for you. So God does things God's way, but He always comes through. And it's, in fact, what I really wanted to begin with. It's like when we're little kids and we ask for stuff for Christmas or for my birthday and stuff like that. And we say, "You know, Dad, I want this Nerf gun that has all these attachments, and I want this Lego." But my dad, you know what he knows? He knows I'm not going to play with that very long. So instead, he buys me something that I will play with a lot. And I get it out of the package and I'm like, and then a year later, I'm like, "This is the best toy ever. Like this toy." That happened a lot when we were kids. And now I do that with my son, because he'll say, "You know what? I really want a Pez dispenser." No, you don't. That's the stupidest thing. You don't want a Pez dispenser. That is not what you want. Sorry if you work for Pez in the room. That would be cool. Tell me about that. I work for Pez. Unlimited Pez dispensers. I know better. My kids, your kids do this, right? You go through the grocery line, they think they need stuff in that last little part every time. "I need a Reese's. I need a..." And they always want to get the goofiest thing that like is some kind of candy that you got to suck on or you got to dip it in this and that. I'm like, "No. You know what you need? You need a candy bar. Chocolate, that's it. You bite it, it's in your mouth. Done." And they thank me later, right? Because I remind him every once in a while, we'll test this theory again and say, "All right, you can get the juji bladuji and with all the..." And then they find out, "I don't even like this. And I spent $2 on it." I'm like, "Well, you're never getting that again. You're going to let Daddy pick. Because I am not as dumb as I look." Our Father comes through. Our God comes through every time in the best way possible. We have nothing to fear when we trust in His promises. Do you trust in the promises of God today? I hate to say this, but when we waller in our anxiety and our worry, it shows a lack of trust. It shows that we don't believe God will come through always. Because when we believe that and we live that way, anxiety cannot live in that place. We feel rest. We feel peace. We feel protection. Trust in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Will you do this with me, friends? Fearful anxiety is the opposite of faith. Place your faith in Christ. Rest in His peace. Abide in His protection. And trust in His promises. Heavenly Father, this morning, we come to this place hoping to hear from You. And we're so thankful, first of all, that You're ready to answer. That when we call, You answer. And most of us have come here today struggling with worry and stress and anxiety. These are real. These are real in our lives. We're worried about the next paycheck. We're worried about what our kids are going to grow up to be. We're worried about whether or not our spouse is going to be there the next day. We're worried about so much anxiety. And we all experience this in different and unique ways. But God, You're our refuge and our strength. Thank You so much this morning for Your word, God, that reminds us to place our trust in You again. And so we boldly ask, God, give us strength, give us courage, give us boldness to come underneath Your wings every day. Sometimes we just need to be shaken and reminded that we're not living this life on our own. We were never called to do that. We were called to abide in You. And apart from You, we can do nothing. Thanks for that reminder today, God. So help us. We are so weak. Help us in our weakness. Be our strength. Be our refuge. Be our great reminder that we need to come back to this place of peace, the refuge with You every moment of every day. There's never a day where we just need to face it without You. Help us when we wake up tomorrow that the first thing we do when we step our feet on the ground is say, Lord, I am Yours. Take me where You want to lead me. You are my refuge and strength. Every moment of every day, remind us of that. And then give us the ability to feel these chains of anxiety fall off. What it would be like, church, to have joy and peace apart from worry. Give us that, God. We believe. Help us in our unbelief. We trust. Help us to trust more. Your promises are great. Help us to believe them with everything we have. I recognize that someone showed up today, that this all sounds really good. This Jesus who died on the cross, that sounds really nice. And these promises, I want them. But I recognize something's missing. That in order to abide in Christ, I have to first recognize Him as Lord. I want to give that person the opportunity to pray right with me. Just as Your word says, God. You say if we will confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. And God, we want that today. We want salvation. Pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm broken. I'm lost. The amount of anxiety I'm experiencing in life is too great. The anger, the discontentment, everything. It's all there. I want to be free. I want to be free. And the sins and the struggles and all the burdens, I want to put them at Your feet just as we heard. So God, today I believe. I believe, as Your word says, that Jesus is Lord. And I believe, God, that You raised Him from the dead, that by the cross my sins are forgiven, and by the resurrection I no longer have to fear death. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Dear friend, welcome to the family. As the family of God, we can now live free, free from sin, free from anxiety. Thank You for that, Lord Jesus. Thank You for the cross. Help us, help our lives to be worshiped to You, a living sacrifice. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.